on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Hello and good morning from the State Street Studios. It's ESPN 1000. Mark Zander, Brian Hanley, here for a couple hours to talk baseball and whatever else comes to mind, 4th of July. Brian, how are you today, buddy?
I woke up feeling like Dylan Cease. Man,
you had four strikeouts?
Well, you know what? He found a way, right?
It wasn't as pretty as the last start where he had, 13?
Shaky but effective?
Yeah, sure. We'll take that.
I think his...
Not as shaky as Jock Peterson.
Oh, boy. I think Dylan's strikeout rate for nine innings is around 13. But, the first inning, you're like, ooh, what? That's not Dylan Cease. And just like the night before, he settled down, found a way. And pitcher of the month.
For the month of June. You're right. He found a way. And that is what he wasn't able to do last year. When the train came off the rails, he couldn't get it back on. They had to pull him. That is the sign of a pitcher maturing. It's happened to Kopech this year, too, where he's had a rough start or a rough inning or whatever, and he's come back and locked it down. So we're seeing that. That is very, very positive. And it's also nice to see another team playing the Sox having a little challenging day with the defense.
Somebody
other than us.
Yeah, the Giants are very Sox-like. They've lost 8 of their last 12, and they're kicking the ball around the field. And
I hate that you said that, but you're right.
Yeah.
Well, I hate it, though.
You know, it's when you catch a team that's having issues like that, you have to take advantage and go for the sweep today, right? You absolutely do.
And we are going for the sweep today in San Francisco. I have never been to San Francisco. I lived in Southern California, but I never made it up. I was
seriously?
Down south. Yeah, ridiculous.
You lived in the state.
Here's the thing. Yes, it is totally ridiculous. I have a list of things that I did not do because I thought I would be there longer. When you move to a new place, it's happened to me where it's like you settle in. It's like, oh, yeah, you know what? I'll get to that. I'll go to Dodger Stadium. I'll do this.
Did you go to Dodger Stadium?
No.
What?
No. I know.
You didn't have a Dodger dog? You didn't leave in the seventh inning?
I know. I did not get stuck in that horrible traffic to Chavez Ravine. No, I didn't.
Where did you
live? Look, I did a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff to do in California, but I did not do those things.
Did you take the tour of the Stars homes?
No. Now that's something I'm not going to do.
Lucille Ball lived here 100 years ago. Okay.
Yeah, it's like, thank you. Yeah, let's move on.
Where did you live in Southern California that you were being held hostage and you couldn't leave the city limits?
Well, to be fair, I was running a couple of radio stations. When that happens, you tend to be busy and such. But uh-huh. I put a lot of time in at Zuma Beach in Malibu.
Okay.
Yeah, so I did stuff
Malibu.
Like that. Yeah. Ooh. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Drove through down the 101 through the Las Virgenes Pass and out the other side of Malibu and hung out there. And
where was Jim Rockford's mobile home in Rockford Files? Was that Malibu? Where was?
I think so. Boy,
did
that's
they film
been a
that
long
there?
Time. I think, yeah, yeah. But yes, I did not go to San Francisco. So when I learned yesterday, or maybe it was the day before in the broadcast, that it was like 57 or something, really chilly and foggy, which I knew, but I did not know that their summer really came in September and October.
Yeah.
Which was mentioned, and I thought, wait a minute, I didn't know that. That's really strange.
I covered.
Oh, I'm sure you've been there tons of times.
Oh, tons of times. I covered the AL Championship Series between Oakland and Toronto way back in the day. Mm-hmm. And, it's obviously October. And you talk about a stretch of just perfect weather. And they put the overflow media in the upper deck, which wasn't covered. And, I'm sitting there. Just a beautiful summer's day or October fall day, but like a summer day, like you said. And I'm thinking, man, it doesn't get any better than this for a job, right? I mean, day games in the sunshine, beautiful weather. But, it comes in the fall there.
Right, and we have decent Octobers here, too. But, again, there's summer. The fog clears out and all that. And in Southern California, it's May gray and June gloom. And then July and August, things really start heating up on the beaches and into September. I actually lived in the high desert just north of San Fernando Valley where Well, desert is the operative word.
Wow.
Yeah, we got up to about 110 or so.
So that's like a 5-hour drive from L.A. to San Francisco, maybe, what, 3.5, 4 from Malibu?
And up north, it was about a 4-hour drive. Just never made it. It was one of those things I took for granted.
If you ever do it, take that Pacific Coast Highway.
Now I've done PCH down by San Diego and Del Mar and all that.
No, yes. I meant take it up from L.A. to San Francisco.
Up north, yeah.
Yeah, and stop. I mean, it's an unbelievable drive.
Yes, right.
But that aside, the Sox have been to San Francisco and enjoying their stay. So
they are. It was anybody's guess what version of the Sox we were going to see going to San Francisco. But this has been a pleasant time. We have worked through some issues and come out the other side. Whether the Giants want to beat themselves or let us beat them, that's fine. We'll take it. It's good momentum moving into the Twins, which obviously has something to do with our Twitter poll today, Brian.
Yeah, and because we have this season-defining stretch coming up, 15 games, 14 days, split up by the All-Star game.
Yep.
All division opponents, and you said you start with the Twins.
The division opponents we need to really
down. So our Twitter polls, where do you believe the Sox will be in the standings after this season-defining stretch, because you have chance to make hay or stay in spot. Anyway, your choices: first, second, third, or fourth/fifth.
And they are third right now.
Currently third. Mm-hmm. Currently 5.5 back of Minnesota, 2.5 back of Cleveland, and they have to win the division. It would appear to be a playoff team because they're 4 back in the wild card with more teams in front of them than that.
Yep.
But you're going Tuesday, Wednesday, is that correct?
That's right.
So night game, day game, right?
Yes, night game, day game.
Sleep in your car in the parking lot?
My son has a place here on the north side, so I'm going to just hang with him for the night.
Great. All right. Well, so we will try to break down, what the Twins look like before we get out of here at noon.
Yeah.
How Cleveland's doing it. The oddest thing, the Guardiac kids, I see that's what they're calling them. Okay. Does that work for you?
Not really, but go on.
Yeah. Well, I'm not. That's what they're calling them in Cleveland. Oddest thing, their run differential, 0. They've scored 329 runs. They've allowed 329 runs. And we know the White Sox are, they've trimmed it. They were, minus 50 plus.
Right.
Now they're minus 45. But I don't know how Cleveland's doing it. But we can go over scouting report on how they have managed to stay relevant here and how Minnesota has actually gotten to the point where they're leading the division by a pretty healthy 3 games over Cleveland.
Now, it was the Guardians that lost their pitching coach, right? Was it the Guardians or the Twins? I think it was the Guardians. Charlie, I think it was the Guardians. I was hoping it was the Twins. Either way, that screws things up. He was the guy that went down. I think he went to LSU. He just said, I'm out. Peace. I'm going
because
to be a baseball
Brian
coach
Kelly's
on the.
It was Wes Johnson. He was the Twins coach.
Twins. That's okay. Even better. I thought I heard it was the Guardians yesterday. I was confused. That's even better. Don't you think that kind of throws a little wrench in the wheel?
So he's
in a team dynamic, Brian. Can we use that?
He's going down to manage the LSU baseball team.
Either manage or be a pitching coach.
It says he's the pitching coach.
Yeah.
He left the major leagues to be a pitching coach.
Yeah, this happened.
In Baton Rouge.
This happened like last week, or I want to say maybe early in the week.
Okay, I mean, I know they're paying Brian Kelly $10 million plus to run the football team. Why would you leave a major league?
It doesn't look. It does not make sense on the surface. There must be something to it that
did he know he was getting axed? I mean, did he jump before he was pushed? I don't know.
All I know is that the surprise that you're showing. That I feel many people that I've heard talk about are like, what? But for me, I'm looking deeper as a White Sox fan and say, hey, this has got to upset the apple cart just a little bit for Minnesota, I would think.
Yeah,
now, I'm not sure how it's going to affect their offense, but just the team dynamic.
It's not exactly Carlos Correa going down with the
No, it's not. But certainly it does. You know, it's weird and may shake things up a little bit inside the clubhouse. It's just strange. And look, we need everything we can get, including our own offense. But you know what? It's actually looked better.
We buried the lead. Yoan Moncada showed up yesterday.
Yes, he did. And not a moment too soon. Yeah. If he keeps showing up,
he has to.
I'm happy with it. We talked about it yesterday. It absolutely has to happen.
You got to keep trotting him out there, and he's got to start going 2 for 3 on a regular basis. That would help.
Yep, it would. 312-332-3776. Talking about Twitter polls, we just gave you one there. Who will the Sox stand, or where will the Sox stand after their upcoming stretch of 15 games versus division opponents? Also at ESPN 1000 on Twitter, what is your favorite 4th of July barbecue food? What's on the grill for you this weekend? I am not working the grill, so I will have to answer this next week. I'm going to a party, and we'll see what they put on the grill.
What's your favorite? I mean, I'm in a little bit of a little barbecue rut. I mean, I need someone to call in and give me like a good simple grill. I mean, we all do burgers, right? Hot dogs, whatever.
And it's pretty easy. You want something a little more elaborate, more interesting?
Ribs, spare ribs intimidate me. You know, the parboiling and how do you get the St. Louis ribs or the baby back ribs? And it's an all-day process.
Yeah.
You're smoking a pork shoulder.
And you got to you got to take that strip of fat off the back.
You're like a surgeon.
I've done it. I haven't done it recently, but I've done it successfully a few times.
And we need some. There are grill masters out there, guys who live for these weekends.
Pork. Pork loin.
Yeah.
That is something that does await me at home. Yes, it does.
So, I've seen people take tenderloin, if you can afford it these days, and like put a coffee rub on it.
Coffee rub? I've never heard of that.
Really. Yeah, I'm sure someone out there, I've never done it, but I've had it and it was outstanding.
Yeah.
And I don't even drink coffee, but I was like watching a buddy of mine put this coffee rub on it. I'm like, what the hell are you doing?
Wait, you were a sports writer for all those years and you never drank coffee?
Never had a cup of coffee in my life.
Really?
Yep.
Smelling salts? Did you carry those around with you?
No. And I wasn't doing 5-hour energy drinks like some of the guys I worked with.
This is my point. Wow, that's amazing.
And I did morning radio for,
Yes, all of that considered, I don't understand that. How about Jolt Cola? Remember that? Did you do that?
I did not do Jolt Cola.
I actually did. I was working overnights 30 years ago, and I actually did a few nights.
That's not good for you.
Well, no. Let me point this out. I actually tried it. I said, oh, this works. After a few nights, it's like, I cannot keep doing this. My eyes are popping out of my head. So that was a habit I ended real quick.
Seriously, if you drink enough of that stuff.
I don't know if they even still sell that, do they?
I hope not.
Well, I haven't seen it. 312-332-3776. You know what? Actually, Jim from Chicago Heights just jumped on. I think he wants to give us a what up on what to put on the grill. Good morning, Jim. You're on ESPN 1000.
How you guys doing?
Good.
I boil ribs the night before.
The night
in
before.
Beer.
Okay.
And then I put them on the grill. It only takes about, at the most, a half an hour.
Do you take that fat strip off the back?
Yes.
Okay.
What kind of ribs?
I go for the baby back because at the very end of the short part of the rib, there's a lot of meat there.
Yeah.
And that's what...
That's my favorite part.
That's what makes it.
The burn ends.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, the burn ends. That's my favorite part.
Kind of beer are we using? A heavy stout or a lager?
My dad used to deliver Ham's beer.
Oh, yeah.
God bless him.
And Budweiser. But I found a place to get Ham's beer, so I usually do it in that. I hate to waste the beer, but hey... If it's ribs, you got it.
Well, that's not wasting it. That's using it creatively. There's no waste there.
Ham's is the beer refreshing. Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yes. My uncle used to sit in his lazy boy chair in his apartment. He'd go, no matter when everyone over there, he's watching the Cubs, and he had a Ham's opened up right next to him. But I just saw in the Tribune, someone did a top 10 inexpensive beer list, and Ham's was prominently featured as one of the top 10 best beers you can get on the cheap, and they sang its praises. Still refreshing
all over
refreshing.
The north side. I just had me one over at Avondale Tap within the last few weeks.
Yeah,
So I ended up buying a case of beer, Ham's beer, and it lasts maybe a week or so when I have my son over and his girlfriend and my other son and his wife, and it's all good.
So is it you just pour multiple cans of beer, no water, and boil that?
No water. Just pour the beer in there and cover the ribs and then boil them for about 3 hours at about 350.
Uh-huh.
And then you take them out, let them cool. I put them in a refrigerator so they solid up.
Yeah,
you know, they get hard, and then you put them on the grill, and it's perfect.
Excellent, Jim. Thank you for that idea. That's awesome. Yeah, anybody else wants
I'm
to
hungry now.
Chime in?
Here's what our Twitter poll is. You know, your favorite holiday barbecue food.
Yeah, burgers, brats, sausages. That's, you know, same thing. Hot dogs or other.
No, brats, Italian sausage, Polish sausage. I mean, there was a stretch there for years. I used to go to this hot dog stand. You know, every neighborhood has one, but this was George's on Damon. And there was a stretch about 3 years where at least once a week I went and got a Polish sausage. And, you know, and then I would find my way to Bari, you know, Anthony Rizzo's place in Westtown. On Grand, Bari, the Italian sausage. I'm sure, you know, you can find places all around, but you know, brats, Italian, Polish, there are differences.
My brother lives up in Racine, and Clem's, I think it is, the brats from Milwaukee. Just had some. Oh, my gosh. So, yeah. The best brats are a little north. Italian sausage, I'm up for any day of the week.
Sure.
Polish sausage, too. 312-332-3776. We've got to take a break here. We'll come back. We've got plenty of audio. We'll hear from Gavin Sheets after the game yesterday. White Sox win one. They're going for the sweep today. And the Cubs, I got to tell you what I've been on my way into work today, what I saw on the streets of Chicago. And we'll talk about that when we come back here. On ESPN 1000 with Xander and Hanley.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
From the First Midwest Bank Studio on State Street, it's ESPN 1000, Xander and Hanley. Sunday morning, on my way in, Brian, I'm driving through River North, and I see all these sad faces. They're wearing Red Sox gear. They just don't look like they're having fun in Chicago. How can we show them a better time? Or wait a minute, do we care if we show them a better time? I don't think so. They have lost two in a row to the Cubs. And so it's been fun here on the north side.
Cubs have won four in a row now, which, you know, I didn't know they had that in them. And they're doing it with a patchwork rotation. And yesterday, Alec Mills comes in and comes out in like 45 seconds because his back tightened up on him. And Mark Leiter Jr. was just sitting down in his chair in the bullpen. The phone's ringing. He's
was he drinking
come in.
A beer?
Hams.
Hams, of course. Yeah. Cheapest.
But yeah, it's 40,000 plus out there yesterday. And a lot of Red Sox fans, like you said, wearing the Red Sox caps. And then Josh Witkowski had the nerve, the gall, I say. He doesn't believe it's different here. Did you see this? He dissed Wrigley Field. Cap had something to say to him, too. Cap joined the Twitter brigade that defended the honor of Wrigley Field and saying, take your L at Josh Witkowski and you know, take that hashtag.
You know, I didn't see what he said. What was the basic gist of his rip against Wrigley?
Okay, so he's a youngster, right? He came over to Boston in the three-team Andrew Benintendi trade. And so he's 24 years old. Mm-hmm. And he said, asked about his first experience at Wrigley. He started on Friday and pitched pretty well. Thank you very much. Quote, a little underwhelming. Fenway has a presence to it. I really didn't get that here, to be honest. I said to my mom last night, this place is very stock standard, which is, I've never heard phraseology like that.
Yeah.
But it's just another ballpark to him. And, ooh, Cub fans, angry.
What
angry.
A dumb thing to say. Now, I haven't been to Fenway. It's on my list, but I know when I
get
there.
Well, you've got a long list.
Yeah.
Did you ever live in Massachusetts and not go to Fenway?
No. No, I did not. I did that. That is a good excuse not to have been to Fenway because I've not been near there. But I know once I get there, there will be things that are like, you know, because why? It's an old ballpark. Oh. Things have moved on. So those things, which are charming, are also can be, you know, whatever. But if you're walking into Wrigley Field as an opposing pitcher and you're saying something like that on social media, you just want attention or you're just really stupid.
Well, yeah, and he, you know, he was asked a question and he just gave you an honest answer. And look, the first time
stock standard.
Yeah, that's have you ever heard? I mean,
and I know it's obviously that he's just saying there's nothing
right,
you know, nothing
yeah.
special about it. But stock standard,
take your IV and shove it. I think he said. But you know, the first time I went to Fenway when I was covering the White Sox, you go to the underbelly and go into the clubhouses, and like Wrigley at the time, I mean that walk from the visitors' dugout to the upstairs clubhouse, it was the size of a walk-in closet for the Wrigley. You couldn't change your mind in there. It was tight. But there was leaks. Even when it wasn't raining, there was always a puddle between the visiting clubhouse at Wrigley and the visiting dugout. You know, you're sidestepping puddles. And it was just, and that walk, you know, the fans could stay underneath the stairs up to the clubhouse if you're down on the concourse and yell at the opposing players, right?
Yeah.
But Fenway was the same thing. It was a dump underneath. Right on TV, it looked beautiful, and there's the Green Monster and sunshine, bathed bleachers and everything else. But when the first time I went underneath there to go to the Sox clubhouse, I'm like, ooh, you know, I think I just saw a rat. And not the weightlifting rats like Ozzy said about Wrigley. But I do believe they've cleaned that up just like the Cubs have renovated, you know, the clubhouses and all the underpinnings of Wrigley. But to walk into Wrigley and just say, yeah, it's just maybe I don't buy into it. It's different here, you know, ad campaign because your team's not very good. But, you have people walk into Wrigley and they're like, God, I could play here. I'd love to come here every day.
Right? Well, and you're right. On top, it's absolutely beautiful. But buildings that old have their challenges. Right. And I remember a story when they ripped down the left field bleachers. Yeah, you know, and they redid all of the outfield and that several years ago. I remember heard it from somewhere, can't remember, read it somewhere, wherever, that when they dug all that up, you know, rats live underground.
Oh, yeah.
And they release so many rats into
the
neighborhood.
Absolutely.
Why? Because it's an old building. Fenway has its challenges, too. So for him to say, it has nothing special, stock standard, Fenway's so much better. Whatever.
I got a question for Hanley. What's the most decrepit ballpark / locker room situation you've ever been in your time as a reporter?
I would say the old Municipal Stadium. Oh, a tie. Municipal Stadium in Cleveland. That was a dump. The Astrodome. It was like going into, you know, it was one of the seven wonders of the world or whatever at that time. It was like going into a crypt, a day game. You'd go in there, and it was like you were in a mausoleum. Like if you were dead and you rose from the dead and walked out into the Texas sunlight after 6 hours, it was. And they did have like cats running around chasing rodents.
Sure,
underneath.
They did. Yep.
Yeah, it wasn't really wondrous to me. It wasn't, you know, at the time when they built it. It was all that.
It was much better on TV.
Yeah,
a lot of these places are.
But yeah, the remember at Wrigley they had the netting to catch the falling concrete so it wouldn't land up people's heads as they were watching the Cub games.
Yes, the hazards of going to, as you said before, sometimes you go to a game you don't know what you're going to see or feel. Concrete hitting your head from above. That's unexpected.
You're wearing the construction helmets, the beacher beacher.
Hey, as long as they have a Cubs logo on them, I think that's a brilliant giveaway.
Oh, boy. Yeah, not a giveaway. They'd probably sell them for $100.
Right. 312-332-3776. So we had a victory yesterday. We have a lot of audio here. Let's see. What do you want to play here? There's so much, Brian. What would you like to hear first from the Cubs yesterday?
Well, the Cubs, the Mark Leiter, who came in and did what, 5 1/3 on literally a minute's notice, and the Cubs end up winning that game, and ends up being a bullpen day, right, on schedule, because unfortunately it looks like Alec Mills is going to be out again. His injury plagued season is going to continue. But yeah, let's listen to the Cub pitchers who got it done.
It's definitely kind of a tough spot, like because it happened so fast. Like the phone's ringing as soon as they even are going out to the field. So they gave us like as much time, much of a heads up, like who it might be. And then you get a chance, you know, you get about 45 seconds to move around. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely a quick call.
And here's Mills on Leiter coming in and spelling relief for him after his back tightened up.
Did what we had to do.
What he did was special. I mean, obviously, not only to pick me up, but pick up the bullpen. And then obviously we won. So that's, you know, three pluses in one. I thought he looked awesome. Went out there, was it 5 1/3 maybe? Not too many pitches. So, you know, got through a really good lineup, very efficient.
Yeah, not something you expect to see on the north side, but I'll tell you something. It gives Cubs fans some hope, even in the short term, that, you know, there's something to enjoy.
Yeah, and before we get out of here at noon, a couple things. After the break, I really want to, you know, dive into the scouting report on Minnesota and Cleveland in particular.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, that is definitely something we need to do.
I want to, you know, if you look at the great Sox starting rotation, which has really been pretty good, right?
Giolito pitched today. Better outing last time. Not so much before then, but hopefully he's working his way back slowly to the Lucas we know.
He might, right now, he might be my, if I'm putting together an all-city starting rotation, I might have Keegan Thompson in where Giolito might have been a month or so ago. But those five starts before the last one, mm-hmm. I mean, not even average. Not so good. So, right. I might sell you on at least one Cubs starter who I think has earned all-city honors in terms of a starting rotation.
Oh, you're still in the selling mode. We're not taking Nicky's two strikes back.
I'm not trading you Keegan Thompson. If we trade you Ian Happ, we do need pitching. I need someone. You know, I know you got a couple of 26, 27-year-old prospects who are older prospects, but if they're on the cusp, I think I need one of those guys in the deal.
You sure you don't want Mankata and Jimenez?
Lloyd, no.
Even after yesterday, Mankata?
No.
For Happ and Contreras.
Well, I mean, Tom's...
Oh,
Ricketts
and you know what? We'll throw in Grandal. That's fine.
Tom, Ricketts ain't paying that 2 years left on the Mankata deal. He's just not going there.
So. Oh, there's a way to soften that blow. 312-332.
Sell those construction helmets at $100 a throw.
That's exactly right. 312-332-3776. We'll take a look at the Twins scouting report. We're going to see the Twins. We're going to see Detroit. We're going to see Cleveland broken up by the All-Star break. And this is a very important stretch for the White Sox. And we'll set things up, and we'll set up today, too. Coming back with Xander and Hanley here on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Facebook at ESPN Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Yeah, especially against a guy like Webb. Just the way he can sink it and move it all over the place. You got to kind of get behind it and drive it all over the field. And I think that was the adjustment I made from the first at bat to the second was, you know, try to get the ball in the air and try to use the whole field in that situation.
What did you do in Charlotte?
I got my confidence back. I think that was the biggest thing. It was kind of a mental reset. You know, worked on some things, made some adjustments, but you know, getting your confidence back is the number one key.
How'd you get it back?
Had some success, had some fun, and you know, obviously, you know, just brought the fun back in baseball. You know, not putting too much pressure on myself about results, and just enjoying the game again. And you know, that was been the biggest thing. And coming back here and letting it translate, and having fun in what I'm doing.
Go enjoy it. Do everything San Francisco has to offer in 24 hours.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
And hitting a line drive at Jock Peterson that should have been caught and not caught and getting a double out of it certainly puts a smile on one's face, doesn't it?
Yeah, Gavin Sheets, thanks to NBC Sports Chicago, Jason Benetti in the post-game interview, on-field interview with Gavin.
Yeah, who, Jason and Len.
They dropped the S. It's a Gavin Sheet during the interview on my TV screen, but he apparently didn't get the plural. But he did have two doubles, including a two-run double, which wiped out that one-zip deficit. So good day for Gavin Sheet, or do you say Sheets? And you heard him go enjoy all the things San Francisco has to offer. You think he took a trolley ride or anything yesterday, or? Golden Gate Bridge.
Look, the Golden Gate Bridge. You don't have to. You can see it from afar. It's like, okay, I've seen that.
You didn't leave your heart there, did you, Tony Bennett?
No. I wasn't close enough to leave my heart there.
Wow.
I'd have to send it there.
Yeah. That's still amazing to me. You lived in the States.
I know. Believe me, there's a handful of stuff I took for granted. I know. But I had a lot of fun in that state of California.
Yeah, well, I mean,
spent a lot of money in that state of California.
I was going to say, if you could,
which everybody does. If you go to California, you're spending a lot of money.
I mean, if you could afford to live there, it would. You could do worse, right? But between the taxes and the mortgages,
look, the state of California. I've said this to everybody. I love the state of California. I have a love hate relationship because the state of California does not want you there. It wants to chew you up and spit you out. It wants to. Everything's so expensive.
Yeah.
There's the, you know,
two-hour commutes for 3 miles.
The fires every fall. Didn't have to deal with any earthquakes. I was there for 2.5 years. Ooh. Maybe felt a little one. But all of these things, it's like the state of California is a living, breathing entity that draws you in like a Venus flytrap and then just does not want you there and makes life rough for you in all different ways, but it's beautiful, and I enjoyed my time.
But really, the number of native Californians, they're in a minority, right? I mean, it's mostly transplants, right?
Yes.
And I was covering the Blackhawks one time after the Northridge earthquake, and aftershock.
94, that was terrible. It followed 94.
The aftershock woke me up in the middle of the night, and it felt like the room was moving for like 5 minutes, but it was like 30 seconds. And it was like a four on the Richter scale. I mean, it was.
Now, did it shake or did it roll? Because some, and knowing I still have friends in California that grew up there that they've lived through several where it rolls, like, you know, if you take a carpet and you just kind of flick your wrist, it kind of ripples, you know, like a wave. The ground will do that or it will just shake back and forth.
Yeah, when you're in a high floor of a hotel,
it doesn't matter. It's scary.
Roll or shake. You're like, what the hell is that?
It is definitely scary. And again, how I did not experience that in my 2.5 to 3 years of living there is pretty much a miracle. But I live north of Northridge, so I would drive down to San Fernando, and I go under that bridge that famously came down. It's named after an officer who was riding on that bridge in the middle of the night after the earthquake, and he didn't know that the bridge
was out,
and he tragically died. Many people lost their lives in that one. That was a tough one.
Yeah, it was a horrific one.
Yeah. 312-332-3776. All right, Brian. Yeah, if you want to jump in and talk White Sox, we've got a couple polls up there. What's on your grill? What's your favorite thing to throw on the grill on a holiday weekend such as this? We've got some choices up on Twitter, or if you just want to call in and give us your suggestion.
I'm hungry for ribs already, but maybe you have a burger recipe that
Maybe something different to do with Italian sausage or brats. Yeah. I mean, I I'm a huge hot Italian sausage fan, so if there's a different way to do that, I'd love to hear about that. We also want to know, where do you think the White Sox will finish after this 15-game stretch against division opponents? The most important stretch of games this season. If you want to jump in at 312-332-3776. All right, Brian, you've got some details on the Twins scouting report. First of all, their pitching coach quit. I still think that's going to matter somehow, hopefully.
Okay. Yeah, I still want to know why. He must be from Baton Rouge. He must have gone home.
Yeah, I don't care why he left. I know it's weird. I know it's weird. But, you know, if it throws the team off, if something weird happened behind the scenes and it's a funky clubhouse, I'm all good with that.
Yeah.
Good for him leaving. Whatever. Thank you.
Don't let the door hit you on the way out.
Yeah, whatever.
All right. So MLB.com, Henry Pelletella, earlier in the week, he wrote a story headlined, "How Are These Contenders Getting It Done? Let's Dive In." Sadly, the Sox are not on the list. We don't, you know, because they've been mired in a little bit of difficulty, Leilia. So yesterday we talked about the idea that it would help if they hit more home runs, 61 home runs. In my world, not getting it done. Third fewest in Major League Baseball. And one of our great callers, George, took exception to that. So starting with the Yankees and the AL East, how they're getting it done? Home runs. Averaging 1.7
best team
home
in
runs
baseball
per game. Yeah, and yesterday they were down 1-0 to Oakland, who actually has fewer home runs than the White Sox, and of course the Yankees end up winning that 5-1. So there are different ways to win in baseball, right? So home runs make it easy.
They all involve crossing that plate, that fourth plate.
Right.
I'm just
saying. So we
whether
know
it's a home run or a bunt, whatever, get them across.
We know the Bronx Bombers are living up to the nickname. Mm-hmm. Okay, the Twins. Here's Henry writes, how are the Twins getting it done? They, on the strength of OPS plus, all right? So even though they've had injuries, the Twins have the third highest OPS plus in baseball, 100 being the average. They are 113, all while not having a player with more than 35 RBI. So you take the players on base plus slugging percentage and you average it out with ballparks and all the different factors. Mm-hmm. So they're doing it by OPS plus. And Luis Arraez leads baseball with a .347 batting average. And your guy, Byron Buxton, has also been helping him out. Carlos Correa is starting to get high, heat up a little bit. So they are in the 90th percentile or higher in both barrel rate and sprint speed. So they're not hitting the ball in the ballpark. They're just making contact, right?
Right.
And they're going for extra bases. So Minnesota hitters are averaging a barrel every 6.8 plate appearances, which is third best in baseball. So they don't only have 86 home runs. They don't hit a lot of home runs, but they're adept at keeping the line moving and making opponents pay for mistakes. So that's how they're.
And when we first saw them, we made plenty of mistakes that they made us pay for.
Absolutely. Yep. You give them, you open the door, they're going to come through it usually,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
This is the Cleveland thing is the one that I can't make heads or tails out of because
it's a weird stat.
Yeah. I mean, again, 329 runs scored, allowed 329 runs, but they're calling the Guardiac Kids. And Henry writes, despite having the youngest roster in baseball, the Guardians have been able to stay in contention for the Central crown on the back of solid fundamental baseball. And the most impressive thing for them, they have the lowest strikeout rate in baseball at 18.4%. So they don't go up there and whiff and sit down and drag the bat back to the dugout.
Right.
That's
patience at the plate. I mean, you've got to, you can't do what the White Sox have done all too much and swing the first pitch strike and you got to make the pitchers work. And that's the thing that bothered me about the White Sox is like, okay, if you see your pitch and you're swinging at it, if you don't get a hit, then that pitcher's staying in the game that much longer.
Yeah.
You have to wear out those pitchers.
You think about the likely outcomes of an at-bat, and home run and strikeouts, usually were 1-2, right? I mean, 18.4% strikeout rate, and Jose Ramirez leads Major League Baseball with only 7.5% strikeout rate.
I know. He is the Byron Buxton of Cleveland.
Yeah.
Pain in our arse.
It's amazing that they have five batters with a strikeout rate under 20%. And of their starters. And so they've got the majority of their lineup has got great plate discipline. So that's.
Doesn't show the White Sox, they have to grind it out.
Yep.
These are teams that grind it out. They have to match that willingness to just grind it out. Take those pitchers deep into counts. Seriously.
Or just take them deep.
Then there's that. In the absence of taking them deep, take them deep into account and get to their bullpen.
Absolutely.
Yep.
So, I mean, they're playing really good, solid, fundamental baseball. And we've seen stretches of the White Sox doing that. And,
not consistent, but, against Toronto here or whatever, all of a sudden it's like they're spraying it everywhere. They're hitting to the opposite field. They're going with the pitch. They're just doing that grinding thing. And in absence of the home run ball, that's what has to happen on the south side.
So, it's if you're going to climb back into this thing over 15 games in 14 days against your division, you have to play, you have to clean it up, and you have to make the most of your offense, and you can't afford spells where you go six games without a home run or three games with an error, or, I mean, you just have to, we know playing at home has not been something the Sox look forward to. They have a losing record at home. They're better on the road.
Yeah, there's a few things that they can achieve here. Obviously, with the wins, they can climb up in the division and get that home record a little more in balance. Because if you're not winning at home, I don't know what shot you have in long-term success at all. 312-332-3776. If you want to jump in here on a Sunday morning, we're here until noon, and we're going to be talking baseball, taking your phone calls. We've got some other things to cover as well. Connor McKnight, pregame at 2:30 today. Lennon DJ on the call, first pitch, 3:05. It is Giolito against John Brebbia. And Brebbia's got a 3-1 record, 2.7 ERA. Lucas, we know the ERA is a bit inflated. Hopefully he can start knocking that down with another start today. We'll be right back here on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
ESPN 1000, you can listen to us on the app. It's awesome. It's free in your app store. And 100.3 HD2 on the FM dial. Brian Hanley, Mark Zander, taking your calls at 312-332-3776. It's a nice long holiday weekend. The weather is beautiful. And I'm wearing a special shirt, Brian.
Oh, man. What vintage is that? How old is that shirt?
This is this shirt was put out right after September 11th.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. The shirt I'm wearing, if you're on Twitter, Xander Rocker, all one word, one R in the middle. I wear this every 4th of July. And for a while, I'm proud to say for a while, I wasn't able to fit into it, but I've lost quite a bit of weight over the past year. So it fits me very well, actually a little big on me now, which is nice.
Terrific, yeah.
This is a shirt that has the Loop logo on it. The radio station 97.9 The Loop, which is RIP. Gone for a few years now.
Was one of the great ones.
A legendary station. I was lucky enough to spend 5 years on the air there. And after September 11th, they released a special run of shirts that it's red, white, and blue. The logo is red, white, and blue. And on the back, it says ROCK in the USA. And I had this tucked away. I've got a big collection of shirts from my career. I had this tucked away. And last year, I thought, nah, I'm going to put this on. And wore it last year and wore it again this year. It's really kind of a special thing. I'm glad I saved it. I'm glad the mice did not get into the tote that I had them stored into. I've lost a few things, but this is really, really a cool shirt. And remembering a legendary radio station again, being lucky to be part of, and a lot of industry buddies and. We're a part of this very special radio station. So I thought I'd wear it and I post it on Twitter. It's like two radio station logos in one shot. Wow. Is that allowed? Sure it is. It's okay.
And also remembering not only the great radio station, but remembering the feeling after that horrific 9/11 event. The unity of this nation and the genuine United States of America where we could use a lot more of that today because
absolutely. Brian, I'm glad you brought that up. I mean, that was the spirit behind what they did with this T-shirt and the different things that they released after that. But I could tell you, just like in 1980, when the Olympic team won the medal against the Russians, it was like the same thing. Now, it was a horrible thing, obviously, in 2011. However, you're not wrong. And that part of it is, dare I say, a bit of a fond memory when people came together. Not for the reason, obviously, but we could use a little more of that, and hopefully we'll get back to that sooner than later.
Yeah, somehow. I mean, the only time in my life where for weeks, months, everyone had this kind of spirit, you know.
Yes, it's all of us against them.
Yep. Absolutely.
It's not you versus me, it's all of us against them. Yeah.
Yeah. And God bless on this weekend, you know, remembering all that. But it was strange times indeed, but boy, the Loop. I how many hours I listened to the Loop back in the day, right? I mean, what a great station that was.
Yeah, it was a complete honor to work there, and I worked with some greats and got to know a lot of great, great people working at the Loop. And
I'm waiting for that book to come up. I know you've told us some of the stories, like when you're riding up the elevator with Seika. Wasn't that
Seika was in the elevator, and she was kind of giving me the eye. It's like, no, Seika. I don't know.
Google Seika.
You know, at that point, I've got to say, it's like Seika. Yeah, you know what? I'll, if you've got a movie that's about 20 years old, you know what? I'll watch it, but no, no, thank you. No, thank you.
She lived with Billy
Connors. Nice lady, though.
She lived with pitching coach, Cubs pitching coach Billy Connors.
I know. Oh. You told me that.
Yeah.
God. Funny times. I tell you, the stories up on the 37th floor of the Hancock,
yeah.
The things that I saw in the elevators when all of those stations were up there, pretty amazing.
Get that book together.
Yeah, I know. I've got to get, I just got to organize all the memories, and they're fleeting. I got to just carry a pen and paper around with me. 312-332-3776. So the White Sox are going to see the Twins starting tomorrow. I thought that they would have had a day off, but you know what? I'm glad that they don't. I think that they really need to get into this series with a head of steam. So there is not a day off. They're coming back after today's game. They're jumping on a plane and coming back here, and they'll have a night game against the Twins tomorrow night.
You know, and I always found doing those West Coast trips that I always thought the team, without the day off, the quick turnaround, coming back, you know, 4-hour flight, and playing, the adrenaline was still going, especially if you sweep today and you feel mm-hmm. good about it. Mm-hmm. The adrenaline was still going pretty strong. The first game back home, it was day two where it started to catch up to you a little bit, the time change and everything else.
Right.
You know, because they were out there for a week, so the body clock adjusts to the West Coast time, couple-hour difference. And then Tuesday's the day you're going to that game. Tuesday's the day they got to have to kind of watch the motivation and where the energy level is, right?
Well, and Tuesday is a night game, thankfully.
Yeah.
The turnaround between night and day would go from Tuesday to Wednesday.
Right. But, I mean, that's the second day home when you have a full day to catch up on stuff and, you know, see the family. And then you head to the ballpark. That's where that West Coast trip can come into play. I think they're okay tomorrow. But look, I mean, Tony, it was the Field of Dreams game, right? Started a pretty, we thought it was going to be a defining stretch last year. And Tony said, treat this as a playoff run, right?
Right.
He told the team in a meeting, let's take advantage. And certainly the Field of Dreams game had all the kind of playoff atmosphere and national attention and everything else. And I think they went and played 500 in the next 12 games or whatever. 500's not going to cut it. So
not this year. Nope.
I don't think he can go.
Not against these teams. No.
Yeah, I don't know that he goes into the meeting tomorrow before the game and says, let's treat this as a playoff run. I hope the team is aware of how important this run is without actually being told, because it is going to be defining. And, you know, you want to jump on 312-332-3776 and tell us, you know, what you think this 15 games in 14 days is going to look like. Are you going to be sitting in first place because you've decided that you're the team that everyone thought you were going to be going into the season? Are you going to be standing in place, or are you just going to, you know, move up to second and incrementally get better? Or, God forbid, could you slip to fourth?
No, don't even say that. You know, also, if you want to jump in and tell us who your pick to click is, you know, I know it's a little cliche, but who is going to really show up? Who, you know, Abreu? He has showed up consistently, so, you know, he's good. But who needs to show up and stay there, really performing? You know, I think there's some obvious answers, but maybe you have something you can sell us on that isn't so obvious. 312-332-3776. Looking forward to that. The Cubs are they're in action again today. Who's starting for them today? Let's see here.
Not Marcus Stroman.
No, he's busy.
He's busy rehabbing, and but he had some thoughts about how close the Cubs are to actually getting into contending position. I don't think it's this season, but at least he's optimistic. We can hear from him.
And we appreciate
Thompson
that.
To that.
Yeah. Oh, there he is. See, okay. Now there's my guy.
Yep.
Keegan Thompson. I would put him in, and if we're combining the Sox and Cubs rotation and coming up with the best four or five to roll out there, Keegan Thompson's earned a spot, no doubt.
I agree. Okay. We'll hear from Marcus Stroman when we get back. Take your calls at 312-332-3776. Talking baseball on ESPN 1000 with Xander and Hanley. We're back in 2 minutes.